Oh yeah, real lifers, citizens of the world, welcome to the Real Life Global Movement, where our mission is to inspire, empower, and connect the world through English.
We believe that English should be a fun and enriching part of your life that you can practice and enjoy whenever and wherever you want. Are you tired of boring lessons that suck the life out of your learning? Are you ready to step up your game and become a kick-ass English speaker?
Well, we're here to guide and inspire you on your journey to true lifelong fluency. It's time to stop just learning English and start living it. Ken again, aw yeah?
Aw yeah!
Aw yeah! What is up, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, people from all around the world? I'm Chad from Real Life English, where we believe that listening to podcasts is a fun, natural, convenient, effective, and what am I missing out here, guys?
Too hot to handle.
And a
tipsy
way to learn English. So download this podcast now and listen to us while you're stuck in traffic, walking the dog,
boozing it up,
polishing off that last bottle of champagne,
or getting tanked. I'm joined here today in the studio with the man, the legend, Mr. V. What is up, Ethan?
It's one of my legend.
Oh, you haven't heard the rumors?
No.
There's a lot of talk in the town is that Mr. V is pretty hot stuff right now.
Oh. Yeah, that's news to me.
That's news? Okay. And let us not forget the man who gets manicures with Chuck Norris. Isn't that right?
It is, it is.
Mr. Justin Murray.
Oh, yeah.
Did you say that's like your guilty pleasure?
Yeah, you know, Chuck, he really insists upon it.
He insists on, yeah. on the manicure.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I give him some lessons in karate over there.
Okay, awesome. So we have a banging episode of Real Life Radio for you guys today, so let's get this bad boy underway.
What does bad boy mean?
To say something is a bad boy is often a slang way to say it's generally something cool, like this bad boy. Mm-hmm. Let's get this bad boy underway. Underway means happening, let's get it going, let's do this.
And it shows that you're actually excited to do it, too.
Yep, sure. Which we definitely are excited to make this podcast, and let's, like I said, get this bad boy underway and jump into today's shoutouts. You know you make me wanna shout, kick my heels up and shout, throw my hand up. Okie dokie, so Mr. V, any shoutouts that you'd like to give today?
Alright, so we've got a pretty awesome shoutout from guy Fabio from Curitiba, who was actually here in Chile for our last party, so we got to throw back a few.
Yeah, where is Curitiba? Maybe some people don't know where that is geographically.
Southern Brazil.
Southern Brazil. Have you been there?
I have.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
He's been communicating with us for a while. Sent us some emails and some very enthusiastic about this podcast and about the whole movement. And it was really cool to see him in person.
It was.
So, Fabio says, hi, guys. The last party in Chile was amazing. I really liked to be with you and all the people there. I never talked English so much in only one day. It was a pleasure to know you and many other friends from countries like Turkey, Russia, Argentina, Brazil, and Chile. No doubt it's the best way to learn English. The night finished in Bella Vista with five other friends, past 4 a.m. with one hot dog to sleep well. This month I'm back to Brazil in Curitiba, and I hope to find you in other parties wherever you are. Good luck, and keep this fantastic job.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, Fabio. Well, it was great to meet you in person too. We're glad that you managed to practice your English a lot. It seems like maybe knocking back those beers kind of helped his confidence a little bit.
Wetting his whistle might have kind of helped him speak English a little bit better.
Wetting his whistle, what's that mean?
So you kind of, when you're feeling a bit parched, like your mouth is dry.
Thirsty, right?
Yeah. Then you might have a something to wet your whistle being your mouth.
I'd say it's quite an old expression, to wet one's whistle. And it seems like he did have a pretty decent night. I mean, he was there until past 4 a.m.
In Bella Vista.
In Bella Vista, what's that?
Ended up at it's a neighborhood in Santiago where all the discotecas are.
Yeah, it's pretty near where we had the party, too.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was great to have him there. It was a good party. I think we broke our record for most people ever, right?
Sounds like he ended up with some drunchy food.
So, wait, what are drunchies?
So drunchies are generally what you eat when you've been drinking for a while and you need something, and you get a little rumble in your stomach, and you need something to kind of cap off the night, so you might grab something that's usually something kind of greasy, like a hamburger or a hot dog.
Hot dog, in Fabio's case, probably a completo.
A completo, what's a completo?
Completo is a Chilean, it's a Chilean hot dog where they just put a lot of stuff on the hot dog.
Yeah, avocado included.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm curious, where does the term drunchies come from?
Might come from munchies.
Which are?
What are munchies, Chad?
Munchies are, well, it's kind of a syndrome.
Well, literally, what is it first? First, what is it literally?
It's a disease, man. Yeah.
Munchies is just another way to say you're hungry. I got the munchies.
Well, and originally, munchies are actually like snacks, right?
Are they?
Yeah.
Well, the word to munch means to like...
Yeah.
You're munching on something.
Yeah, yeah. Well, those are munchies, right? That's where it comes from. But the term was actually adopted by potheads.
What are potheads?
People that smoke a lot of marijuana.
Yeah. And why do people who smoke a lot of marijuana eat a lot of munchies?
Because you get hungry when you smoke marijuana.
So yeah, it was nice to know that you enjoyed the party, Fabio. And also you got the drunchies. And the hot dog was there to save you before going home and having a relaxing sleep.
Passing out?
Maybe he passed out.
What does pass out mean?
Pass out is when you're just so tired that you fall asleep really quickly.
If you've been drinking, what do you generally mean by that?
It means to do that when you're drunk. It means drink too much.
I think it's like a little bit more intense than that. A lot of times if you pass out, it's like you're unconscious.
Yeah.
From drinking.
From drinking or something else.
Or complete exhaustion too.
As well.
Yeah. I think we're dilly-dallying a little bit here, and we should get back to the subject at hand, save all this banter for the conversation topic. Do we have any more shout-outs?
We have another one. Yes, we do.
What is banter, by the way?
Banter is when you go back and forth in a jokingly way.
Yeah.
A lot of times.
Yeah.
So this is from a Fluency Circle member who I was on a hangout with the other night. This is for Roberto. Roberto Gomez Franco from Brazil. Here I am to give you a 5-star review. And why? Because the more 5-star reviews you get, Chad,
the higher you rank on iTunes.
Ethan,
the more people hear your podcast.
And most importantly, you deserve it, guys. You rock. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you very much, Roberto. It was very nice of you. Really appreciate that.
Yeah, so like Roberto said, we do appreciate 5-star reviews. You can go and find out how to actually do that on the show notes of this episode. It will be at reallifeglobal.com/drunkenglish. That's DRUNKENGLISH. Awesome. That's it for today's shoutouts, and let's move on to today's
kick
ass
quote.
Oh yeah.
I'm kick-ass. Okay, so generally on the podcast, we give you guys an inspirational quote, something that you can apply to your English learning or to your life. Today, we're going to do something a little more humorous, and it involves wordplay. And the quote is... what?
I drink wine because I don't like to keep things bottled up.
Can you repeat that, please, Justin?
I drink wine because I don't like to keep things bottled up.
Okay, so you drink wine because you don't like to keep things... bottled up. That's the wordplay right there.
Sort of a double entendre.
Double
entendre.
Entendre. Mr. V.
What does that mean?
It comes from French, and it's like a double meaning.
Okay.
A double. It'd be literally like a double understanding that you can have from it.
Okay.
So double meaning, probably a more universal word for that.
And what is the entendre in this case?
Double tundra.
Double entendre.
Double entendre.
So, the double entendre is that not liking to keep things bottled up would be an expression meaning that, like, your emotions, like, you don't like to suppress your emotions because a lot of times that can cause disease or it can cause you to just explode in one moment with all your anger. But it could also just be literal that you drink wine because you don't want to keep it bottled up in some corner. You want to uncork it and enjoy it.
Okay, maybe cork. What's a cork?
Cork is what is used to keep the wine bottle closed.
Yeah.
We use that figuratively, too, to uncork something.
Yeah, it's to open it up, right?
Yeah.
Mm. And bottled up would be something similar to being, like, corked. Because mm-hmm. you can use cork as a verb, corked, uncork, to take the cork out.
Mm-hmm.
So to keep something bottled up is to keep it closed or to suppress your emotions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that is neither good to do, whether it's with your emotions or with a bottle of alcohol. It's better to uncork it.
And share it with your friends.
And share with your friends.
Maybe practice some English at a real-life English party.
Oh, yeah. Like a good friend, Fabio, thanks a lot. One more time for coming out and meeting us all the way in Santiago. He made the trip just for the party.
Yeah, right. From just like Curitiba. Max Power.
Just like Max Power. He also came here
actually,
for the party.
Fabio was working here.
Oh, don't tell them that. All right, guys. So that is today's kick-ass quote. So let's move on to today's conversation topic.
What you talking about? You've been drinking, Chad.
I have. I've uncorked myself.
Yeah, we should be drinking while we're recording this episode.
Yeah. So you've probably already guessed that today's episode is based on drinking alcohol and learning English. Probably got that because we said the URL of this podcast is Drunk English. And
maybe the title of the podcast is going to be something related to alcohol too.
Yep. Maybe all of the like little the like breadcrumbs that we've been dropping.
Oh, breadcrumbs? What do you mean by breadcrumbs?
So I think that comes from Hansel and Gretel, right? Where they leave the trail of breadcrumbs to find their way back home.
Mm-hmm.
So we've kind of been leaving like a figurative trail of breadcrumbs, just dropping jokes about drinking.
Breadcrumbs are those little pieces of bread that fall off of the big piece, right?
When it's dry.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think Hansel and Gretel, just so people who haven't heard of that before, that is a kid's fairy tale.
Mm-hmm. From the Brothers Grimm.
Okay. So, the topic at hand, drinking and English learning, or language learning in general, what's the deal with that?
So, a few weeks ago, we were filling out an application for a program to participate in for like kind of like Startup Chile that we're in right now. And one of the questions on it was, please tell us something surprising or amusing that one of you has discovered.
And surprising or?
Amusing.
Okay.
What is amusing?
Something that like is very entertaining intellectually, right?
Kind of something that maybe puts a smile on your face.
Yeah.
It's not straight out like going to make you laugh, but it puts a smile on your face.
So we thought about this for a while. None of us had a really good answer. It was the last question on this application, and it was a really important application. So we were thinking about it for hours. And we uncorked a bottle of wine, you know, because wine lets the creative juices flow a little bit.
Uh-huh.
And we came up with this answer. We discovered through our language learning parties that people actually communicate better, feel more motivated to speak, and get fluent faster when regularly exposed to the right amount of alcohol, attractive members of the opposite sex, and most importantly, people who support their learning.
And that is the real life English party. In a nutshell.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean,
it's some of our parties.
So, you know, but having alcohol, people of the opposite sex, and just good energies, good vibes, friendships, that's just a party in general. But we've kind of noticed throughout our experience in hosting real life English parties that it is actually a very beneficial way to practice your English, and people do tend to be a lot more confident. It seems like they just start to flow a lot more in their English as well. Wouldn't you guys agree?
Definitely.
I think it's a combination of factors for sure. I think, you know, it's obviously having the mission that we have, people that we have been really good people. You know, we have a really good activity there too. Mm-hmm. So I think even if you bring people together for coffee, for example, even a day at the park, which we've done before.
Mm-hmm.
And you're still going to get a really good environment, but the alcohol definitely is a catalyst in some way.
What's a catalyst?
Something that stimulates, catalyzes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost like if you have a beer, you get confident and your inhibitions are kind of loosened up, mm-hmm. kind of relaxed. And so you're free to maybe come to the top of your potential. And so maybe you're not psychologically ready for it in normal moments because you get kind of like just scared of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But the alcohol kind of removes your inhibitions a little bit, and then you know what it's like, and you can remember that afterwards.
Yeah. But there is a balance. I mean, if you have a little bit too much alcohol, You're gonna start slurring your words.
You get sloppy.
You get sloppy, sure.
Okay. Sloppy, man?
Sloppy is like messy. Mm-hmm. Like you go from maybe being an eloquent speaker to not being able to pronounce your words in any language, including your mother tongue.
That's true. Your mother tongue. What's your mother tongue?
Your mother tongue is the language that your mother taught you, so like what you've been speaking since you were a child.
And another word that I said just now was to slur your words when you've been drinking. What does slur mean?
That's commonly like affiliated with drinking. So slur is kind of where you start to, it's kind of like mumbling, right?
Yeah, this guy here is just a man. This guy's the man.
You start to also get kind of hard to understand, though, if you're slurring your words.
It doesn't only help your learning of that second language, like English, for example. It helps you in your native tongue as well. You're probably going to communicate better up to a certain point. For me, for example, it depends on how often I drink. Like, if I don't drink for a while, if I have, like, two beers, I'm past that point where I'm eloquent.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they say that alcohol at parties or just alcohol in general can be used as a social lubricant.
What's a social lubricant?
So a social lubricant is an expression we use for something that helps you be less shy and get along with people more, be more social in a typical situation.
It helps people be more outgoing, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's outgoing? What's outgoing?
Outgoing is more like you're an extrovert, right?
So in the United States, we're not exposed to alcohol till we're about college age. So a lot of people, their first experience with alcohol is in college, and it helps a lot of people who maybe in high school were very shy to be much more outgoing and to really, to kind of like come out of their cocoon.
Or talk to girls, right?
Talk to girls. But okay. I mean, just making, talking
to... Talking to guys, talking to whoever.
Talking to people, you know, the same sex, just like making friends in general.
Yeah, that is definitely one thing that alcohol does help. But just so you guys know, before we get too deep into the subject, we're not saying that you guys should go out and drink alcohol and it's going to help your English, but it can.
It could.
It could. It could facilitate by helping you break through one of the biggest barriers in actually speaking English, which is actually just getting out there and trying and speaking to people in real life.
It's a bit of a confidence booster for you. The thing with alcohol too, though, is that it affects your memory, so like it's not necessarily that you're going to be able to go out and like learn a bunch of vocabulary, a lot of the other things that you might want to learn with your English, but it's very helpful for that aspect of speaking, of like really breaking out of your shell and actually using the language to speak when you might have some reservations about doing that.
You said two strange expressions right now. You said first just now, breaking out of your shell, and before you said something like a cocoon.
Yeah.
Leaving the cocoon.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's all that about?
So first, leaving your cocoon is kind of, it's a metaphor with a butterfly, that you have a caterpillar, which is kind of like a worm. It creates a cocoon and then it breaks out of it and it's a butterfly. So it's, you can imagine someone who's maybe very shy and stuff, kind of breaking out of their cocoon and all of a sudden they're a beautiful butterfly.
Yeah.
This is what happened to you when
drinking
you went to
alcohol.
Did this happen to you when you went to college and started drinking?
It happened to me when I went to Germany, which was my first real exposure to alcohol.
Okay.
When he was 8.
Okay, you said breaking out of your shell or something?
Breaking out of your shell, so it's kind of like same sort of idea that you have like a shell on, something like hard protection.
It's like an egg, for example?
Yeah.
It's the same thing. It's kind of a similar metaphor, right?
You break out of it and you kind of show your true colors. Mm-hmm. And then reservations is kind of like your doubts about yourself, about your self-image and stuff.
Okay. And let's just quickly, I know a lot of people are probably very skeptical about this. A lot of people don't even really drink, which is great.
A lot of people really do drink.
But a lot of people also do really drink. So do you have anything to back this up? Any information, any other maybe bloggers or anyone out there who has tested this or has some kind of proof behind this theory?
Scientists, maybe?
Maybe a scientist, who knows?
Yeah, So this isn't just us. There's actually, this comes from a website called Slate. So in one study in the 1970s, college-age English speakers were asked to perform a pronunciation test in Thai, a language they had no experience with. After drinking different amounts of alcohol, what happened? Those who drank 1.5 ounces of alcohol, which would be like one drink, performed better on the pronunciation test than those who had drunk an alcohol-free placebo. An ounce and a half of alcohol was apparently the perfect amount to relax the subject's egos, enough to not feel silly while trying to produce the sounds of a language very different from English, but those subjects who drink 1.5 ounces of alcohol also perform better than those who consume 2 and 3 ounce drinks.
Hmm.
So that's pure alcohol, right?
That would be like, well, not pure alcohol, but that would be like hard liquor. So like vodka, tequila, rum, something like that that's harder, which would be the equivalent in the percentage of alcohol as like a whole beer or glass of wine.
Mm-hmm.
So basically what this is saying is from this study that if you drink a little bit of alcohol, like one drink for most people, you're going to like kind of feel more relaxed. You're going to let go of some of your inhibitions, not feel so silly speaking the language or maybe shy.
Mm-hmm.
But if you drink too much, then you get sloppy and you're not going to perform well.
Yeah, so there you guys have it. That is backed up by science. This is not just us making up stuff based on our awesome parties. This is actually scientifically proven.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Cheers to science. In relation to drinking and English and all things like that, what are some, you mentioned hard liquor. What is some cool vocabulary we can teach these guys, just to finish off this conversation topic here, something that can help them prepare for drinking social environments? You mentioned hard liquor, which is like what?
So this would be probably anything that's probably about like 70 proof or more. And proof is basically double the percentage of alcohol that it contains. So for example, something that's 70 proof is 35% alcohol.
Okay.
So that would be something like liquors, like Jägermeister.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Jäger. Jäger bombs.
And then you get to harder alcohols, vodka, rum, whiskey.
Mm-hmm.
And then you obviously have things that are softer, like wine, I think is like 12 to 14%, right?
Something like that.
Beer is like around usually 5, 6%.
Yeah. 4 to 6, I'd say, is that the range,
mm-hmm.
the average range there.
And I think one great thing in English is how many different ways we have to say that you're drunk. And it's
okay.
Kind of like a sliding scale. Maybe someone actually needs to write an article on this.
Yeah. yeah. So let's just quickly, I mean, we won't get every word for saying drunk, but just on a very small scale there. Obviously, the first one would be maybe tipsy.
Tipsy or buzzed.
Tipsy or buzzed.
That's like kind of when you've maybe had just that one or two drinks.
Yep.
And you're starting to feel... Starting to feel good, confident.
Yeah. That's when your English. That's when your English is really flowing.
It's a sweet spot.
That's that sweet spot. Oh, what's a sweet spot?
It's like the perfect amount.
Exactly. Then you start getting a little bit drunker. So you might obviously drunk. What's another way to say drunk in that case?
Sloppy, shwasted,
hammered.
Wait, wasted?
Shwasted.
Shwasted. What's that?
Yeah. Or wasted.
Okay.
It's like American, a newer American slang. Shwasted.
Okay. All right. Hammered?
Yeah.
Shit-faced?
Shit-faced? Okay, that's very drunk there, right?
Yeah, that's...
Fucked up?
Fucked up, yeah.
Yeah. I got really fucked up last night.
Did you? It was Easter.
yeah. I didn't. Sloshed? Have you guys heard of that?
I have.
Yeah, I got sloshed.
What's slosh?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know where it comes from, but it just means to be really drunk. I got sloshed.
Trashed.
So I think you guys have enough vocabulary just there. A handful of words to say that you are drunk. what other cool vocabulary would they need and would help them in these social situations?
Maybe in the US you would chug a beer.
To chug?
In Australia you might...
Skull it.
Yep, that's it. Skull.
Pound.
Pound a beer, yeah.
Pound a beer.
So that's to drink it all in one go, right?
Mm-hmm.
And people might even start like chanting like chug, 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 chug.
Yeah.
Or do that with skull too.
Skull, yeah.
Exactly.
Or they might grab your feet and pull you up and have you do a keg stand.
What's a keg stand?
A keg stand is when two people hold you up by the feet and so you're upside down and you have to drink from the barrel.
From the tube, right?
From the tube in the keg, in the barrel.
This would be something that you guys do. I mean, I've never done that. Have you guys done that?
I did once, I think, in college.
You did that? Yeah.
I've done it a few times, yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of drinking games or just different crazy ways of drinking beer in these kinds of situations, college,
usually
parties
in college.
And stuff.
In the United States. So, anyway, we're not trying to say don't binge drink. It's
Ooh,
not
what's
good.
What's binge drink?
To binge drink is to drink a lot at once. So binge is to like really excessively consume something at once or to an extreme amount.
Isn't binge drinking too? It's a lot of times it's over a large period of time, so it's like hours or even days.
I think it's like you're just doing like a large amount of something at once. For example, like binging on TV shows.
But like what about if you have a 7-day binge?
That's true.
It's where you're drinking every single day for 7 days. You're exactly. Pretty much not exactly. Sobering up.
But that's a large amount in that short amount of time, right? Yeah.
What do you mean by sobering up without sobering up?
So sober is the opposite of drunk, that you're in your normal mental state. And as a verb, you could say sober up is to go from being drunk to getting sober.
And lastly, you mentioned the kickstand. There's also one other thing that I've noticed. We kind of do this in Australia, but I think it's probably more common in the United States. And it's also something that's going to be happening on today's killer clip. And that is a beer bong.
Beer bong. Wow.
Beer bong. What's a beer bong?
So, well, what's a regular bong?
A bong would be it's a water pipe used to smoke, generally, marijuana.
Mm-hmm. So a beer bong, it has nothing to do with smoking, but it's you have like a funnel, which is something that takes like a large, it's got a large mouth and it goes, narrows down to a small mouth, and it's hooked to a tube. And so you pour the beer into the funnel, and then your mouth goes on the other end of the tube, and the person lifts up the funnel so that the beer quickly shoots down the tube into your mouth. So it makes it really easy to chug or scull a beer.
I don't even think it's classified as chugging or sculling, because I think it just like shoots all the alcohol down into your stomach in one go.
That's true. But it's fairly common in American parties. It's kind of a fun thing to do, but it can also be very dangerous, obviously, because you're drinking a large amount very quickly.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of people getting pretty hammered on these things very quickly.
Getting blackout for sure.
Blacked out for sure. Well, that is today's conversation topic. Hope you guys found it quite intriguing. Whether you come from a culture that drinks or doesn't drink, hopefully still got some cool vocab from this conversation topic.
You'll definitely understand American pop culture a lot better.
Party movies.
Yeah.
Animal House. Mm-hmm. Old school.
Yeah. All right. So just a reminder, if you guys enjoyed this conversation topic and would also like to suggest a future conversation topic, we are all ears. We'd love to hear what you guys want to learn about, so feel free to send either of us even a personal message. You can contact me at chad@reallifeglobal.com,
justin@reallifeglobal.com,
ethan@reallifeglobal.com,
or you can just leave a comment on the show notes for this podcast. Again, it is reallifeglobal.com/drunk-english. Oh yeah, so let's move on to today's killer clip. Okay, so today's killer clip is a scene from a very popular movie. I guess it was released quite a while ago now. I'm not sure how long exactly, but the movie is called Old School. What does old school mean?
So it's old school is something that's kind of like old, but it's cool, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of got a classic feel to it.
So that is what the word old school means, but this movie is called Old School because the movie is set in a college campus where some older guys managed to rent a house. And this movie is your typical college American movie, wouldn't you say?
Maybe with kind of a twist.
A little bit of a twist, yeah. What's a twist?
So kind of like something unexpected.
Exactly. So the main character in this, I forgot his name on the movie, but it is Will Ferrell.
His name's Frank.
His name's Frank on the movie, okay. So Frank is at one of these college frat parties and he's walking through the crowd. And suddenly some of these college kids ask him if he wants to take a hit of
a beer bong.
Of a beer bong, that's right. Yeah, but you guys probably noticed the way that they actually say that, they say, yo, yo, what's up? They're very...
Gangster,
very, very slang, just the way they speak. Kind of everything they say is very slangy. So keep your ears peeled for that.
What do you mean by keep your ears peeled?
Keep your ears peeled means just pay close attention. Listen very closely.
So he also says, I've got a big... So Frank says, I've got a big day tomorrow, which means that you have a lot of plans for tomorrow. You want to be clear-minded so that you can kind of have a very productive day, right?
Yeah. And they ask him why it's a big day. He said he has some... The comical thing about this is that he's actually kind of an older guy. He's married. He does all kind of married stuff. And the kids, these college kids, want him to take a hit from the beer bong. And the funny thing is that because he's like married, he doesn't marry people. So he's like, oh, you know, I can't. I've got a busy day tomorrow. I'm going to
Home Depot.
What's Home Depot?
So like he mentions a few stores that are like very big chains in the United States. So
Bed Bath & Beyond.
Yeah, so any American would know these places, but obviously most of these are national. So Home Depot, what's that?
It's a big hardware store where you can buy like lots of stuff to build houses and
paint, carpets, anything like
plants.
That. Maybe some wallpaper, they say in that, flooring.
Okay. All home stuff, so it's very boring stuff. And when Frank says this, the kids kind of look at him like, what the hell are you talking about? And then he suddenly snaps. It's like, I'll do it, yeah.
Or one of the guys says, that's what I'm talking about.
That's what I'm talking about when he accepts the hit of the beer bong?
Yeah, so he says, awesome. It's like, awesome, that's what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
And then the last thing he says after hitting the beer bong, Frank says, when it hits your lips, it's so good.
Yeah.
What does that mean, Justin?
When it hits your lips, when it arrives at your lips,
mm-hmm.
it's so good. So the beer had hit his lips.
And it tastes good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then you guys should definitely watch this full movie because it's really funny. We definitely recommend you guys go into the show notes and watch the clip as well. We have attached that there so you can actually watch this scene as you listen to it. We think you guys are going to really enjoy it. And it's just a little bit of insight into American college culture. So let's listen to it.
Pardon me. I just want to get through there, this door over if you don't mind. Thank you.
This is his house. What's up, man? How you doing? No, that's my friend Mitch. You're mistaking me.
He owns the house.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, yo, man, come hit this right here. You need to hit this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, hit that.
No, I appreciate it, but I told my wife I wouldn't drink tonight. Besides, I got a big day tomorrow. But you guys have a great time.
A big day? You're doing what?
Well, actually, pretty nice little Saturday. We're going to go to Home Depot. Yeah, buy some wallpaper. Maybe get some flooring, stuff like that. Maybe Bed Bath & Beyond, I don't know. I don't know if we'll have enough time.
You know what?
Give me that thing. I'll do one.
We gonna do one. Do you, baby.
Oh!
Dude, that's a talented man right there.
All right, guys, so that is it for today's episode of Real Life Radio.
And to end this episode, as a disclaimer and also just for a word of caution for you, if you're not of drinking age in your country, please don't drink. Don't drink and drive. Don't drink alone. What else?
Don't drink alone.
Don't drink if it's illegal in your country.
Don't drink if it's illegal in your country.
Or if it's just against your moral or religious beliefs. I think we've covered all corners, right?
I think so.
Drinking alone, does your dog count?
What if you're chatting with a friend on the internet?
Okay, I think drinking...
What about Skyping a beer?
Skyping a beer, what's that?
If you're talking to a friend who's also drinking a beer,
yeah,
and you're talking over Skype so you can see each other and you're drinking together.
That's not drinking alone.
What if you're watching a TV show and the main character is drinking with you?
I think you can still get away with that one.
We got a lot of ways we can bend the rules here.
Yeah, we should do another episode on social etiquette of drinking.
Sure. Okay, so that was awesome. And if you guys have any future suggestions for podcasts, anything to do with the conversation topic, the killer clip, the quote, we would love to hear from you guys. Again, you can just contact us on our personal emails, chat@reallifeglobal.com.
Justin@reallifeglobal.com.
It's kind of central, Justin.
Yeah.
Ethan@reallifeglobal.com.
And who are we playing them out with today, Mr. V?
Sia from Australia.
Okay.
The song Chandelier. Probably a lot of people have already heard this one. It's kind of a hit over the summer.
Mm-hmm. Like a bong hit?
Like a chart topper.
Okay.
And the song is all about drinking away your problems. So take it away, Sia.
Aw, yeah. And like always, you'll hear from us next week on Real Life Radio. One, two, three, drink. One, two, three, drink.
here comes the shame, here comes the shame. One, two, three, one, two, three, drink. One, two, three, one, two, three, drink. One, two, three, one, two, three, drink. Turn back till I ain't no sky.
Tonight, on for tonight, on for tonight.